in the out of control room. He says, somebody I've wanted to get here ever since I heard that he was going to have a solo record, and I wanted to be able to congratulate him in person. My good friend Tommy Shaw.
Yo, Beard.
How you doing, buddy?
Great, man. Good to see you.
I'm sorry. It's good to see you. I'm sorry. I have a habit of getting you out of the sack.
I know. Well, we came in. We had a long drive from where we were. Pasadena, well, Houston, actually, last night.
Where did you, do you remember where you played?
Played at a place called Cardi's over there.
Oh, that's a pretty famous place.
Yeah, oh, it was great. We were just all jumping up and down last night by the end of it.
Tommy, you mentioned something when you walked in. You said, man, you said it is so different and in a good way. What's different now that you're fronting your own band, you've got your own solo record out, and you're touring clubs and small halls?
Well, you know what it is? It's real stripped down, streamlined. And we're getting like a front row view of our fans, and it's just, it's all brand new for us, and we're all getting to know each other as a band. And the players are so good. I mean, they're really pushing me to play better than I've played probably ever.
That's neat.
Well, I don't know if you know some of the players in the band.
Tell me the band. Let's run down the lineup in the Tommy Shaw tour band.
The keyboard player, Michael Blair, kind of reminds me of myself when I joined Styx, because he was down in Nashville and he's been in Arabia and Germany, just really trying to get something going, and so he was ready for this, and this is a move up for him. And you know, this is probably the biggest band that he's played with. And Richie Cannata, saxophone player, keyboard player, played with Billy Joel about as long as I've played with Styx.
Right, and he's been a tremendous producer, too. Richie's
real. That's right.
Say hi to him next time you see him.
I will. I'll say hi to him right now. Rico. It was.
He's in your tour band?
Uh-huh.
Oh, this will be great to see him tonight.
And Steve Holly, who toured with McCartney for about 3 years.
Right.
Steve's played on a lot of records. He played on Julian Lennon's record. And
which
he
is
played
a
on
tasty thing.
A couple of Elton John albums. And Brian Stanley, who toured with The Rumor with when Garland Jeffries was out with
right.
him. And he played on a Brian Adams record. I know I've seen him on a Brian Adams video. But
this sounds like a really hot... So Richie Cannata's in your tour. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I worked with him several years in Nashville in the Volunteer Jam. Billy Joel popped up that.
Uh-huh.
And Richie came back, and then a year later,
that's
we've
right,
done interviews.
Tell me
I can't
about
wait
that.
To see him tonight.
So...
Gosh, with you and him up
it
on the stage, do any men come? I know women love
Richie.
Got
a nice, real nice mixture.
And women love you, boy.
I tell you, it's a really nice mixture. You know, it's we're really starting to just feel who our audience is out there.
Yeah.
And this is our last club date. So
really?
These things are so much fun. And, you know, we tried to do that in Styx, but we just never got around to doing it. You know, to get back into a smaller venue like that. And now after this, we're going to be going out doing a couple of auditoriums ourselves, a couple of coliseums.
Great.
And then going out east with the Kinks.
Oh,
and finishing up
that'll
with
be
the Kinks.
Great.
So that's going to be a lot of fun.
That'll be
We're having too much fun now. This is ridiculous.
Well, let's take a listen to the song, the first single off of the album. It's also the title track. Of course, this one needs no introduction. Tommy Shaw in the Out of Control with Girls with Guns on Q102. 102, title track to Girls with Guns, the solo album from Tommy Shaw, who certainly has made his fame with the band Styx, a songwriter, a vocalist, a guitarist extraordinaire, and now out on tour. He'll be performing tonight for Q102 listeners at the Fort Worth Roxy, and of course you're going to hear that particular song. I'll be honest with you, when I heard this single, which came out just ahead of the album, I was really surprised. It's got a lot of keyboards as a lead instrument rather than your signature guitar, and people were asking me, what does the song mean? I'll leave it up to you. What's Girls with Guns? What's it? An allegory for something?
Yeah, it's. I suppose I could call it Women Who Work. It's kind of a tribute to the working girl out there, because a lot of girls out there kind of get this. There's a misconception that you see these women out there who look very serious and really work hard all day long, and you think they may not be any fun.
Well,
just because they're so serious and they're competing with us guys on a one-to-one basis.
Yeah.
But I just sort of wrote that song for one particular girl, my girlfriend, who really made me respect that sort of thing. She works, 5 days a week like that, works just as hard as I do, and looks a hell of a lot better than I do.
So what you're talking about is that...
Girls with guns, girls who can kick the booty.
Can kick booty and hold their own in a man's business world.
Yeah.
And they can still be just as feminine and just as much fun. And just as much fun when the time comes, right? When the time presents itself. Okay, tell me about this next song. I blanked out on it already.
Come In and Explain.
Thank you. Come in and explain
sort of about being out of control and trying to get your way and... turning on the manners at the last minute, and but not doing a very good job of it.
This features some hot guitar here from Tommy Shaw. Come and Explain from the Girls with Guns solo record on Q102.
Thank you.
I'm Redbeard with Tommy Shaw in the Out of Control Room. That's Come In and Explain from Tommy's solo album, Girls with Guns. And we got to get to hear that one tonight at the Fort Worth Roxy.
You can count on
that. Right. I believe it. That's a good, good rocker. We'll come right back with Tommy Shaw next on Q102. So don't go away. In the Out of Control Room with us is Tommy Shaw. He of Styx, now out on the road. And you say there's a documentary being made of this?
Well, yeah. You know, this.
What are you doing?
This is really interesting, this phenomenon, and I think that's what it is, with a lot of the people splitting off from the supergroups of the
70s. That's true. It is very
true. And doing this, and we're just going to show you right up close what it takes to go out and you know, step out of a big band like that and then step into the spotlight as a solo artist. And I think you'll be really surprised. I think a lot of bands on either side of this level will be interested in seeing this, because you see, you get to see the good, the bad, the ugly, warts and all, and you get to see the fun stuff, and it's very intrusive, but we all thought it would be worthwhile to really show rock and roll fans out there what it's like.
It's a good word, very intrusive. Okay, let me, for those, since we haven't seen the documentary yet, and it'll be coming out.
All right, well, they'll be shooting tonight, and
we're
going to compile a video. We haven't decided on which song, but we're going to make a video from little bits and pieces of the club dates and some of the headline dates.
Wear your Q102 shirts then tonight. Let them know you're from Dallas, Fort Worth. That's for sure.
Yeah,
you're right.
But come on out and look at it like that, and because they're going to be shooting a lot of the audience. But the documentary will really show from rehearsal stages, a lot of stuff on the bus. We're going to go to my hometown, and it's going to be like a homecoming there for me.
Oh,
and
that's great.
You'll have a chance to see my parents talking about what a little creep I am. But no, it'll really give you a good insight as to really what it takes in 1980. What year is this?
We're almost at 85.
To try and do something like this. And I think it's interesting. It's interesting being out here doing it, and I think it'll be interesting to watch.
Oh, I'm sure it will be very interesting. Matter of fact, I can't wait to see it. I got to ask you this, and that is, I think the things that are different about being on tour as a solo performer, fronting your own album with your own band versus the mega tours and things like that of Styx, I think some of the differences are obvious. Obviously, you're playing to smaller groups of people. You're more...
I have a limited repertoire all of a sudden.
Good point. I hadn't thought of that. That's right.
Yeah, the playing song. A lot of... When,
good
on
point.
A Styx concert, we'd play 2.5 hours of hits.
And then someone would still say after the show you didn't
How
play
come
their,
you didn't play
your
you
favorite
know?
Song, right?
Yeah. Right. So now we're playing to an audience, and we're playing more new songs than recognizable songs.
Mm-hmm.
We're still mixing in... some of my bigger Styx songs.
And I know that's very important to some people that are coming to see you tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, this is... I'm not going to be that self-indulgent, but...
Good for you.
We have some new arrangements on some of them. Rico plays more saxophone on some Styx songs.
Oh, that'll be neat.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. But, you know, with the Styx thing, we really took it about as far as I think we could, especially with the conceptual things that we were doing. I don't think we could have done much more production than
what
we did...
What could you do on the Kilroy tour? What could you do to top that, really?
We could send the props out on tour without the band, I suppose. And that, to me, that was one reason for wanting to get back and strip down and go out there with just bare bones and play songs and really play the songs and start to get back to the tunes, you know,
And the people that go to hear the tunes.
Yeah.
Because you're much more accessible on a tour like this.
This would not be possible to do because of just the demands if we didn't believe so much in the music. That's really why we're here right now, because I like the music a lot, and the guys in the band believe in it enough to get out there and roll up their sleeves and get out there and work. So, what we have is a compact little unit out there touring, but it's all full of people who really believe in it, and they're all out there enjoying, and there's no one complaining about having to work a little bit harder.
Do you remember the word you used when you walked in just before we turned the microphones on? You said, man, it's good to be hungry
again. You bet.
Emotionally, artistically,
yeah.
Right? That's neat.
Yeah,
that's
there's every single day, there's no routine out here. You get out here and you do what you got to do to get out there and make the show happen. And at the end of the night, when it all works, we're all like just disgustingly soaking wet and all backstage. It's like playing a, like winning a basketball game
or
something.
The big game every night.
Yeah.
That's neat. That's great.
I'll tell you, in 1976, it's quite a year. And in that time, we had toured Behind the Equinox album. We had written and recorded the Crystal Ball album. And we'd gone out on tour with that, so things were looking good. They really were. The Grand Illusion songs were starting to, you know, the experiences were creating the songs. And we opened for Kansas in Detroit not long after that. They were so good. Left Overture, that music was just so powerful. And it just opened up my eyes, and suddenly those thoughts crystallized. And I wrote this next song the very next day, Man in the Wilderness.
Thank you.
Tommy, okay, I got to ask you a question. How does, I don't know if it's that well known that you're not from the Chicago area originally. A lot of people, you know, the Styx band always was based out of there. How does a boy from Alabama sing the national anthem for the Chicago Cubs in the playoff game?
I didn't tell them that I was from Alabama. I live in Chicago now,
yes,
so.
Yes.
And I had a party for the guys in the band when we finished the Chicago leg of the recording.
Uh-huh.
And I have a lot of friends there in radio and television.
Sure.
And the media. So I invited a bunch of them over there to meet the guys in the band. And a friend of mine brought this girl with him who was the publicity person for the Chicago Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having a talk with her. I said, what do you have to do to sing the national anthem? And she said, well, you have to talk to me.
Now, did you say that facetiously or were you serious?
I just was curious. I wasn't like trying to, because I didn't know. I said, what do you have to do it? And she said, you have to talk to me. And I said, no, I can't do that. No way. And she talked me into trying it. And when we finished finished mixing the album in London.
Girls with Guns.
Yeah, I came back. Actually, I left a day early, which is probably kind of irresponsible for me. So I finished the actual final stages of the album in Chicago, and I came home so I could do this national anthem.
Boy, so it was a big
thing. Came back
the
next day, so I was a little crispy doing it. But they let me take my guitar out. I took a 12-string out there and sang it, and it was...
Now, just standing
me
on the field of Chicago's...
Wrigley Field,
and with a microphone, yeah, outdoors, with an acoustic 12-string, and how many thousand people?
There were about 40,000 people out there.
40,000 in the stands and millions watching on television.
Yeah. And then I
more or less a cappella, just with a 12-string.
Yeah, I kept
singing one of the hardest songs in the world.
I know. I usually don't do cover material, too, you know. I made an exception. This
guy, Francis Scott Key.
What else did he write?
The check's in the mail. What else did that guy write?
That's how it's hard to sing. You know, you don't see a lot of people looking for the B side of that one. But so the last regular game of the season, they asked me to do it again. And that week, before that, I'd been in Japan for a week.
Man.
So
jet lag.
I'd like to try it one day after having a regular night's sleep on an American time schedule. But I got back in. I saw the sun rise and set twice that Saturday.
Because of coming back from Japan.
But I went out there and
that's weird.
So I didn't know what time schedule I was on. But that one I thought was even better because I'd had one under my belt.
I understand it brought down the house. That's great.
It was
Tommy Shaw singing the national anthem at the Chicago Cubs Wrigley Field for the playoff game with the Padres.
It was the last game before the playoffs.
Right.
Is what it was.
That's wild. That's wild.
I'm still competing with Florence Henderson and Bobby Fenton, I think, for the big spot. You know?
We'll be right back with Tommy Shaw on Q102.
Tonight.
Q102, where KTXQ, Fort Worth, Dallas. Q102, Tommy Shaw tonight performing at the Fort Worth Roxy Seminary South Shopping Center. And before we get into the song The Race Is On from the latest solo album here with Tommy, I got to ask you this as a member of the media, it's my job. Give me official, status report on the status of Styx. It's obvious that you're out on your own. We don't want people to jump to conclusions. I'd rather get it from a member of the band.
Well, I'm doing this. Dennis is doing a similar version of this. And from what I understand, JY is working on some tracks.
Right.
And I would really just not count on seeing a Styx album for a while. And if indeed we do, we really didn't have a meeting and say we are going to continue as a band or we're not going to continue as a band. But when we left the studio in December last year after mixing the live album, it was pretty obvious that we all needed to get away from each other. And
tell us why that is necessary. It's not always obvious, but it's like in a super band like a Styx, it's almost like being married to four guys, isn't it?
It's very much like that. And I think we've definitely spent more time with each other than we did our families. And when you have so many creative forces within one unit like that,
absolutely,
someone's will has to be put aside for the group. And me being the latecomer in the band, I was always always really felt like the new guy in the band. Even
really,
though
even after all those years, and really the band exploded when you
well, you got to remember though, it was a band that had had five albums out before I joined them, and it was pretty tough to get beyond that, to rise up in that club. I know it seems
it seems
unlikely, but it's true. And with the Kilroy project, it was it became very obvious to me that my style was changing, and so was the band's, but they weren't changing together.
Anybody that follows Styx, and particularly Kilroy, knows that that was Dennis DeYoung's baby.
Exactly. That should have, I really felt like that should have been his solo album. In a lot of ways, it would probably have been better, because I don't know that I really helped that one that much. I in some ways, probably held it back.
I doubt that, but...
Well, because I was writing the bulk of my material outside that concept.
I see.
And a lot of these songs that are on my solo album were in the really embryonic stages then.
Gotcha.
And I was having more fun doing that, you know, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came time to do this, I knew that for me to record these songs, I had to do them on my own. And I was really ready to sing more than just a couple of songs on the album. Really ready to just go out there and just... you know, run it up the flagpole and see who'd salute. So that's what I did. And, you know, I have nothing but good feelings about it. I'm working harder than I've worked in years and enjoying it more. And you know, that's working is really not the way to put it. I'm just putting in a lot of hours doing what I love.
Doing what you love. That's the key. Yeah, that's the key. And then you don't count the hours or
and so the way I look at it, when the day comes that we decide to try and put another Styx record together, I can personally feel like I have a lot more to offer. I may be a little more difficult to deal with, but, you know, it's not a personality thing that you, when you make records, you know, you try and make the best records you can.
Sure.
And you overcome your personality conflicts.
And which I'm sure is very, very difficult. Like we said, it's, you've got, in a band concept, you've got all these people that have a creative...
Strong opinion. And that in itself, though, was part of the magic behind Styx.
Sure it is.
All those... conflicting forces somehow coming together and making one record.
Right, right. But this is nice because you can, I mean, you're the boss. And that's and there's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right with that.
If it sinks, I get the trophy. if it sinks, I get the gas is what happens. But if it sails, you know, and it wins, I get the trophy. And either way, you know, it's... I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
That's what's important. This is called The Race Is On. This features a steamer on saxophone, Mr. Richie Cannata, formerly with Billy Joel and now with the Tommy Shaw Band.
That's right. And if you're out there, Rico, this one's for you.
This one's for you on Q102.
Ow!
Q102. The song is "The Race Is On" with Tommy Shaw from the solo album by Tommy called "Girls with Guns," and that features Richie Cannata. You'll just look on any of your abilities
and for granted yet, you know. And I've really never worked with a sax player live on stage before either. So
well, you get to work. You different. Get to start at the top and work with the best.
No kidding. Woo. But it's real different. It's not like the guitar, you know. You don't get that much facial expression when you're playing the guitar, and Richie's just—he's just a phenomenal player to just, especially to stand next to
on stage.
Yeah,
that's great. Do we get to hear "The Race Is On" tonight?
At oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great,
definitely.
Great. Tommy, I know you've got to get back over there. It's a bit of a drive, and from here to Fort Worth, we're gonna want to invite everybody to get there early tonight. Tommy Shaw and his band, Girls with Guns, is the solo album performing live for Q102 at the Fort Worth Roxy tonight. I want to leave you with something that is one of my.
I was
you're
trying
reading
to
this.
Read that
you're
over there.
You're reading
I
the label
that.
From
I know
over
what
there.
You're gonna do.
You know what it is? Okay, then I'm just gonna take you back to summertime
in
1983.
Memphis.
We were in Memphis doing what we're doing now. We were
and
doing
I
interview.
Still have that guitar.
They gave Remember? You that guitar?
No, I bought it from the guy
you
that brought it over there. Yeah,
you bought
it's the best
it?
Acoustic I've ever had.
That was from a place called Strings and Things. They're
exactly.
great people there. And you bought the guitar?
Yeah. That's
wow,
my what main we, acoustic now.
That's wild because we were doing a radio interview just like we are now and in another city and some friends of ours have a music store and we called him up with like no notice and said, listen, Tommy Shaw, at that time you were touring with Styx on the Kilroy tour, is going to be over here. Could you bring him acoustic guitar? And they drove, you know, a few blocks over, gave you the guitar, and you bought it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what he did with it while we were live on the radio. Tommy, we'll see you tonight
All
in
right,
Fort
Mary.
Worth. Bye-bye.
Submit it for your approval.
Let's see. What were we just gonna do? Oh, crystal ball. This is okay. Now we're getting scary. Okay. Whoops. There. I just bought a guitar. Okay. Whoops. Just bought a mic. Oh God. All right. Okay. Let's try this.
I used to like to walk the straight and narrow line. I used to think that everything was fine. Sometimes I'd sit and gaze for days through sleepless dreams, all alone and trapped in time. All alone and trapped in time.
I've got a verse on it that didn't make the record.
If you should see me walking through your dreams at night, would you please direct me where I ought to be? I've been looking for a crystal ball to shed the light, to find a future in me. Find a future in me. Tell me where I'm going. I don't know where I've been. Tell me, won't you tell me? And then tell me again. My heart is breaking, my body's aching. I don't know where to go. So tell me, won't you tell me?